This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, July 11th, 2014. I'm Kyle Callums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from the Walmart Museum on the Square in downtown Bentonville. The museum invites the public to drop in between 2 and 5 each Sunday for free family events during Sidewalk Sundays. Open daily until 9 p.m., including Sundays. More information is available at 277-1329 or facebook.com/Walmart Museum.
On this edition of Ozarks, what do you do if your team is playing in the World Cup but you're thousands of miles from home? In Northwest Arkansas, expats from all over the world found bars, homes, and other spots to watch the games.
And later, Becca Martin Brown with Northwest Arkansas Media prepares us for the weekend.
First, the Arkansas Department of Human Services is being awarded $1 million to improve early learning and school readiness. Spokeswoman Amy Webb says the grant from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation will allow the department to redesign its standards for young children.
We'll be focusing on three areas. The first thing we'll be doing is redesigning our birth to five early learning standards. We'll have a team of experts who actually come in and review Arkansas's current standards, review the latest research on early learning, and then other standards that are out there, and then they'll make recommendations on changes that we should make.
The grant will go toward identifying new kindergarten entry assessment tools and creating a framework to support family involvement in early learning settings. Amy Webb says research continues to show the importance of the time between birth and 5 years of age.
There's a lot of research out there that now says that between the ages of 0 and 5 are a very critical time for learning for children, and it really provides a foundation for the rest of their lives and how they will learn.
DHS coordinates child care and early childhood education programs in Arkansas. It also licenses and accredits child care facilities and oversees the state-funded pre-kindergarten program.
The city of Fort Smith is launching an initiative in two watersheds to protect the quality of water. The city's utility department says it is partnering with state, federal, and local agencies to work on the plan. Two meetings next week are designed to get public input about potential dangers to the watersheds. For the first, a discussion about Frog Bayou, is scheduled for Tuesday evening at 6 at the Van Buren Public Library. The second, a meeting devoted to the Lee Creek watershed, is set for Thursday night at 6 at Lake Fort Smith Park.
A marker commemorating a historic mill that was destroyed during the Civil War will be erected soon in Benton County. The Arkansas Civil War Sesquicentennial Commission says it has approved the marker, which will be placed within the Hobbs State Park boundaries in Rogers.
The Walmart Amp in Rogers is adding a new show to the 2014 schedule. Officials with the venue this morning announced the Avett Brothers will play at the Amp on September 26th. Tickets are scheduled to go on sale July 25th.
After the first day of play at the British Open, former Arkansas Razorback golfer Stacy Lewis is 3 shots off the lead. The tournament continues through Sunday in Southport, England.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals remain in first place today after defeating Springfield 5-4 last night in Missouri. The Nats have a 1-game lead on the Tulsa Drillers in the Texas League North standings.
Clear conditions expected tonight, lows between 68 and 72. Tomorrow, sunny and hot. Highs tomorrow in Northwest Arkansas will be in the lower 90s. Tomorrow in the Arkansas River Valley, highs could reach 97. Heat index values could be as high as 101. And for Saturday night, clear with lows in the lower 70s. Sunday's forecast, sunshine, highs in the mid-90s. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers news, politics, and potential hockey for the entire region. More about that in just a moment. First, let's talk about the latest edition of the Compass Report, Michael, that you and the good folks at CityWire put together. It shows the Northwest Arkansas economy doing okay.
Yeah, no surprise. Northwest Arkansas continues to rock along. If there was a surprise, it's that the first quarter of this year wasn't quite as strong as the first quarter of 2013, but still doing well. And what we're seeing in Northwest Arkansas, obviously, are continued growth in most employment sectors and the building activity. You know, the housing market, construction market, still doing well. And, you know, here's an interesting thing on the data comparing to Central Arkansas, which still is lagging. Central Arkansas is kind of the weak sister, so to speak, and among Arkansas's three largest metro areas. And the report, this first quarter report, even had Fort Smith doing very well. Fort Smith's growth comes from some gains in employment, not, of course, where we should be, but the employment sector is doing a little bit better, and we're still in the housing market is doing well in the Fort Smith area also. But here's an interesting point. If you look at the real estate data, if you're comparing Northwest Arkansas and Central Arkansas, building permits in the third quarter for Northwest Arkansas were roughly 87% of the total for Central Arkansas, but the value of those permits was 151% of that for Central Arkansas. So it shows you that there's almost as much construction going on in Central Northwest Arkansas as there is Central Arkansas, and the value is greater. That was just kind of a staggering statistic for me.
Well, and the building permits for the first quarter of 2014 for the Fort Smith greater region up over the first quarter of 2013.
Yes, yes. I mean,
significantly.
So the two, you know, the Compass report we do, we measure, we use four leading indicators and four current indicators to measure the health of the quarter compared to the previous quarter in the previous year. And among the three that we measure, Fort Smith and Northwest Arkansas are doing well. And, you know, the Fort Smith metro area is really only – this is – you might say this is just the second consecutive quarter that we've had a decent report. So it'll be interesting to see if that Fort Smith region continues to build.
You had a report on thecitywire.com this week about the ArcBest Corporation's planned addition of nearly 1,000 new jobs. And what that could actually mean is more jobs than that.
Right. You know, and we all know that, you know, when a company adds a job, especially a corporate job, that it's going to benefit someone, especially if they're bringing, as our analysis, let me back up a little bit, we ask the Economic Advancement, Institute for Economic Advancement at the University of Arkansas at Little Rock to conduct a study. Now, it's not an exhaustive study. It's a modeling study that a lot of organizations and governments use to estimate the impact of job gains or job losses, but they ran the study for us, and it shows that of those 975 jobs, it'll result in a total of almost 1,900 in the Fort Smith area, and also creating several outside the state. So, again, I think we all realize this happens when you bring in these good corporate jobs. You know, those folks are gonna eat out more often. You know, go to the cleaners. Buy a car, those kind of things. So all of that trickle-down economy, and I know the anti-Reagan folks out there are cringing right now, but all of that trickle-down helps. And so we also see from that a labor income value gain of $103 million and a total sales, a total economic activity output of $248 million. So, you know, if ArcBest really follows through on these 975 jobs and gets them in place by 2021, the impact, we just wanted to see what the impact was beyond that direct job count.
I hesitate to even bring this up. I'll be as cautious as possible. But for almost the tenure of our conversation, since you and I have been doing this on Fridays on Ozarks at Large, the majority of the economic news for the Fort Smith region has been tepid or worse. It seems as though the last few conversations we've had, there have been more than the usual amounts of reasons to be optimistic.
Well, let's keep it up. Let's try to keep doing that.
So I'm not misreading the signs there.
No. I think it is. But I wrote an editorial some weeks back. I think I posted in early July that said, you know, economic stability. Now what? You know, we've got this ArcBest announcement, the osteopathic college, Smith. Auto group is expanding in the area. We got a new Bricktown Brew bought a restaurant. I mean, I could just go on and on. Our employments are up. about, the building permits are up. But here's the thing that we have to be careful of. Now, we may get a little off track. We're almost 14,000 fewer people in the region employed than we were employed before the Great Recession hit. So that is still a long, still a big hole to dig out of. So yes, we, you know, if you're in the Fort Smith area, you should be happy about the last probably year of economic development announcements, but there's a big hole to climb out of.
All right. Finally, there is a dream for some graduates from Fort Smith's Union Christian Academy. They want to see professional hockey in Fort Smith and told people about it this week.
Yes, professional hockey team with a $450 million sports arena downtown Fort Smith. When our reporter, Ryan Saylor, first sent me the story, I sent him a question back. I said, don't you mean $45 million? Is that a mistake? He said, nope, they're dreaming big. So they are dreaming big. There's nothing wrong with a big dream, students like that. The reality, though, of a hockey team and a $450 million sports arena coming to Fort Smith, that is a that's a huge reality to swallow. For example, $450 million could build a bridge and then some to connect Alma and Chaffee Crossing, the bridge across the Arkansas River for I-49. And they've had trouble raising the $50 million for the Marshals Museum. So there's just some things where the realities of that certainly cause you to pause, but it's always nice to see a group of high school students get involved and roll out a pretty good plan. I was not able to attend the meeting, but I've talked to several folks who said it was an impressive presentation. But if you look around the country, even people like even larger cities are having time, having a tough time expanding sports teams. So anyway, kudos to the students for the dream and the work, but that's a big hill to climb.
Well, they did do a good job of picking the mascot. The Marshals, I like that.
Right.
Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, and so much more for the entire region. Michael, have a great weekend.
All right, you as well. Thanks, Kyle.
In about 20 minutes on Ozarks, Joe Crookston sings his song, The Blue Tattoo.
Yes, my darling, yes, I used to be little just like you. And yes, I played with all the other kids too. Yes, my darling, yes, I used to be little like you. Well, darling, in a Polish town halfway around the world is where I lived when I was just a girl. On a farm in a Polish town halfway around the world.
How a song about a woman who survived 3 years at Auschwitz inspired a new documentary film. That's ahead on this edition of Ozarks at Large.
Soul singer Bobby Womack died 2 weeks ago at age 70. On the next Fresh Air, a 1999 interview with him. He was discovered by Sam Cooke, who first recorded him. Womack's hits include the theme from Across 110th Street, Looking for a Love, which was covered by the Jay Giles Band, and It's All Over Now, which was covered by the Rolling Stones and became their first international hit. Join us.
Listen this evening at 6 to 91.3 FM.
Cleanup continues in parts of Arkansas after this spring's deadly tornadoes. Jacob Kaufman from our content partner KUAR in Little Rock reports one neighborhood near the community of Mayflower is nearing completion of an important phase.
On a sunny morning with temperatures hovering near the low 90s, workers set about their task of the last 2 months clearing debris from what was until recently a burgeoning upscale neighborhood. A crew of men used chainsaws and four-wheelers to cut up limbs and carry off the remnants of trees strewn about cluttered lots. Serving as county judge, Alan Dodson has overseen much of the recovery in Faulkner County and in the Plantation River subdivision, which is in its last stage of debris removal. Dodson says he's been impressed by the speed of the cleanup.
As a dump truck's loaded here, adjacent to us right now, watching it being loaded, multiply that by 1,200 times, and that really gives you an idea of the scale, and that's just this one subdivision.
Donnie Ballou's home, an unincorporated development to the south of Mayflower, is within a short walk of the Arkansas River, with Pinnacle Mountain occupying some of the horizon. He saw the tornado crossing the river, collecting water, and bearing down on his home.
I walked back inside, and I deadbolted the lock. Like, what good is that going to do? But I did. And so I was able enough to go in and told my wife. I said, there's absolutely no way it's going to miss us. And I thought right then, I said, this is it. This is the last time I want to see my family. And she's like, well, dummy, sit down and put a pillow in your head.
The tornado hit while he and his family were inside, causing much of the house to collapse, surrounding a hunkered-down Ballou family.
We had, bricks come at us at 200 miles an hour. And so all of that debris that was on top of us shielded us and protected us. And the whole thing lasted maybe 20 seconds.
As the neighborhood's last debris is collected and trucked off, and as Ballou rebuilds, the political fight over the storm is reaching new heights. Senator Mark Pryor and his Republican challenger, Representative Tom Cotton, have been trading remarks in television ads over what support for affected communities means. Pryor's campaign routinely attacks Cotton for several votes against FEMA and disaster aid packages, while Cotton's camp accuses Pryor of exploiting residents and their poor fortunes. A number of the workers and local leaders said they wish both campaigns would stop politicizing the event, but Governor Mike Beebe pointed to the importance of federal disaster aid.
It's impossible to be able to respond to major disasters without state and federal aid. For example, these pieces of county equipment and the overtime necessary to run it would break this county.
In Little Rock, I'm Jacob Kaufman.
It might be a stretch to say that World Cup fever has been sweeping Northwest Arkansas, but it does seem the 2014 championship has captured more attention here than previous tournaments. The U.S., despite the valiant efforts of one Tim Howard, eliminated earlier in the tournament by Belgium in the round of 16. But thousands of people in Northwest Arkansas are still following home teams, and for Ozarks at Large, Sarah Burningham tried to catch up with as many of them as possible to tell us what it is to be a fan far, far from home.
In England, we call it the beautiful game. Despite the fact that England's performance at recent World Cups has been less poetic, more pitiful. Sometimes it can be hard to describe the significance of this tournament to Americans who are just coming to follow the game and their team with a greater passion. It's kind of like the World Series, the Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, and the Olympics all rolled into one. A single sporting religion for countries where soccer is called football, and football goes from tribal team allegiance to national pride, and collective huge, huge disappointment for all but that final 11 who raised the World Cup. So I've been talking to World Cup fans from far and wide, now living in Northwest Arkansas, about how they've been holding on to their soccer heritage here in the natural state. Antonio Caldera and his family are originally from Mexico, now living in Lowell, and I had the privilege of catching some of the Netherlands-Mexico game on their back porch. Festooned with Mexico flags and hosted dozens of friends and family, ranging from babies to grandparents. Caldera says, it's a classic tailgate.
We try to do it like the American way, like when you go watch a football game, like American football, like going to watch the Razorbacks, that they do tailgates. That's usually what we do, we gather together, get a bunch of people, we bring some food, everybody, every family brings a dish, we just hang our flags, cheer and wait until Mexico score. This place gonna get crazy.
And then it happened. Mexico scored, and it did get crazy. Caldera said they'd be following the World Cup all the way to the final.
We're soccer fans, I believe in my team, but, if they don't make it through the next round, I'm still going to watch games, and we're still going to get together here, and watch games.
Joost Leben's wife, Eva, and three kids are Dutch. They moved to Bella Vista in January, and they've been trying to recreate their World Cup experience as expats.
The World Cup is very important for Dutch people. We all dressed up in orange and celebrate and sing all kind of ugly songs. Usually we watch either at home with a bunch of friends, and we rebuild the whole house such that everybody can see and have the best spot in front of the TV. Or we watch in a pub and the whole pub is orange and we're drinking lots of beer. Here in the US, obviously people don't celebrate as much as the Dutch back in the Netherlands. But the first game we watched with colleagues. The second game we watched also with colleagues, but that was actually during work time, so nobody really watched. And now today, in the, best 32 against Mexico, we're sitting in a Mexican restaurant. Where were a lot of Mexicans watching angry at us if the Dutch almost score.
And as for those ugly songs, aka soccer chants, Boris, Lucy and Joost give us a flavour.
Campeona! Olé! Campeona! Campeona!
Hold on, tip! Hip! Hold on, tip!
Hold on, hip! Laat de leeuw niet in zijn hemdje staan.
To Pharrell's on Dixon Street in Fayetteville next, where I found a large cohort of 50 or so Brazilians in fine voice out singing and outnumbering the sole Colombian there.
Colombia, Colombia, arr. My name is Felipe, I'm from Colombia.
And why are you in Arkansas?
I'm studying at the university. I have been living here just like 8 months.
Is it hard to be away from home during the lockdown?
Yeah, I know. And with all these people in here, I'm the only Colombian in the bar. So yeah, it's kind of hard.
Tell me what it's like when you're home. What does the World Cup mean in Colombia to Colombians?
It's like a party, dude. Like right now, my family, all of them, they met. Like they get together. They have barbecues, they drink, they party. So yeah, it's like we live the World Cup as a family.
And football, because Americans are starting to get into soccer more and more, but it's not the same. What does football mean in Colombia?
Well, Colombia is like a passion. It's like something, like you're born with it. Like in here, I play soccer every day. At Lewis Field, I don't know if you know that, like yeah, we play with a lot of Americans. Like. From Arkansas, yeah, people from Arkansas play too.
But you brought your shirt.
Yeah, I brought my shirt, my friend too, yeah.
So you're wearing a Colombia shirt, where are you from?
I'm from Ethiopia. I'm supporting my friend.
My name is Jefferson, I'm from Brazil. I'm studying here at the University of Arkansas, and I'm going to be here for 1.5 years, and we're enjoying the World Cup here, so yeah, it's an amazing time, yeah.
My name is Douglas Pereira, I'm from Brazil, I'm actually studying at the University of Arkansas, and the same thing that Jefferson said, I'm enjoying the World Cup.
It must be hard to be away from home when the World Cup is in Brazil.
Yeah, you're right, yeah, it's really hard, it's really rough for us, you know, like, yeah, we're trying our best, you know, but, you know, like, it's really hard. We are glad that we have a lot of Brazilians here, and, you know, like, we're just trying to have fun and really good, though, yeah.
Have you been watching all the games in here? And
yeah, almost all of them, yeah.
Huh? Do you have drums here? Drums?
No, we just have a trash cam, and we're trying to do our best, so.
So, guys, together, give me one chant, like, one Brazil-like song, like you would sing.
One Brazil song.
Eu sou brasileiro com muito orgulho.
Hello, my name is Jorge Rojas. I am from Costa Rica. I arrived for Arkansas 3 weeks ago. And I am the only person from Costa Rica in Arkansas, I think, because I don't meet other person from Costa Rica. But I watched the soccer game with my friend over there in the crops. It's a kind of club, yeah, in my dorm room too. I don't know. It's my friends here are supporting Costa Rica, even though I am the only person here from Costa Rica.
You're the sole representative.
Yeah, Costa Rica representing.
Gisela Hershovitz is from Argentina. She was transferred to Northwest Arkansas with Procter & Gamble 2 months ago. Since then, she's been busy getting her husband and three daughters settled in their new home and following the soccer, of course. She says back in Argentina, the whole country comes to a standstill for the World Cup.
If it is a weekday and you have to go to the office, most of the offices like will stop doing things and just play the TV and provide the cafeteria for everybody. So you can gather with your workmates and watch the soccer team. Also, you can go out from the office earlier and sit at your house with your family. And what is most fun is like being on the weekends with your friends and watching the sports with your friends. So you gather all together, you put a big screen and just see the match.
She's managed to find fellow countrymen and women here in Northwest Arkansas, and they've been getting together for all the games.
We gather all together in a house, and we were like 40 people watching the game with a big screen. All the children with something from Argentina, their face painting or flags, whatever, to cheer up for Argentina. So it was very fun. I hope that on Sunday we can win. It's the first time, you know, in many years that we are in the finals. So I hope that Argentina is going to win and everybody cheers for Argentina.
So, Northwest Arkansas, pick a side. Germany versus Argentina this Sunday, 2 p.m. I think I'll head to Gisela's house. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Sarah Birmingham.
It is Friday, July 11th, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
I would sing for you, but I'm croupy.
Oh, well,
sorry. Allergies. So we will not break into The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music.
That's okay. That's all right.
But they are at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale. And it's really cool because it's hometown kid comes home, has made good.
Former Liesl is now back.
Is now back as Maria. Betsy Crouch, who is now Betsy Crouch Jilka, actually she's now Elizabeth Jilka, is back from Texas. She's lived in New York. She's studied acting. She's appeared in New York. And her mom kind of put the bug in Harry Blundell's ear that, you know, Betsy could come home for the summer if you do something she wanted to do. And Sound of Music was it. And John Jefferson, who was in Blithe Spirit with me, is playing Captain Von Trapp. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's a raft of adorable children.
Of course.
And wonderful music. And it opens tonight with a great party before the show where there will be Bavarian food. And I'm told Bavarian beer. And then showtime is 7:30 tonight and tomorrow, 3 on Sunday, and again next weekend.
Well, this is a big weekend if you're a German, well, Anglophile for English. I don't know. If you're a fan of German culture, I mean, you've got Bavarian food and Bavarian drink, mm-hmm. and then the World Cup final on Sunday. Holy cow.
I have reached the point where if I hear the words World Cup one more time, I'm going to burst into tears because it's like a secret club that I'm not a member of and I don't understand.
It's not a secret club.
It's not a secret club.
It's billions strong.
If you don't understand, I would be happy to talk to you about it.
Okay,
after
we should talk.
Oh, I'd be happy to.
I don't understand. I know that somebody blew out somebody like 7-1 the other day, and
yeah,
that was a big deal.
It was
huge, yes.
Yeah, and there was crying in Brazil, as I recall.
Oh, I'm sure there was much wailing and gnashing of teeth.
So who's in the finals?
It's Germany and Argentina.
Okay. All right. We'll talk after the show.
Okay. And let me just say this. I love that the World Cup has a consolation.
Yeah.
Match. I wish, you know, the NCAA men's basketball team used to have a consolation game. One of Arkansas's biggest victories ever was Ron Brewer beating Notre Dame.
I don't like the term consolation. I wish they would just call it like third place.
Third place. Well, mm-hmm. That's what they do in the Olympics.
That's what they do in the Olympics.
The bronze medal game is what
exactly.
They call it.
Exactly. So, I mean, everybody knows
right.
consolation, but just call it third place,
yes,
and some
like
people
that.
Can play without
I
thinking
think,
about that.
I think bronze medal. For,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I got us off topic. Sorry.
All right. Anyway, moving on. All sorts of other things going on this weekend. There's an amazing artist at Crystal Bridges tonight, Jeff Koons. He has a huge sculpture that's hanging in 11. It's a heart.
Mm-hmm.
And he is really well known and really well loved in New York. Mm-hmm. Amazing artist. And he will be speaking at 7 o'clock. It's $15 general admission. And you should call 657-2335 to make sure there's room for you.
Mm-hmm.
Something a little more folksy. tomorrow in Ozark. It's the Ozark Mustang Club Car and Bike Show. Now, there's a trip you could get into.
Mm-hmm.
Because you could go to Ozark, you could see the show, which is from 8 to 3:30. You could eat at the barbecue place. Mm-hmm. It could be a really good day.
Yeah, good.
Brave Combo is performing.
Kyle's yes. very excited.
Yes.
I assume you're going.
Don't think my schedule is going to allow me to.
But did Kyle? Here's a fun trivia fact. Kyle never always does all the trivia. I have a trivia for you about Kyle.
Excellent.
Did you know that Rave Combo was the first band that Kyle interviewed for Ozarks at Large?
No, I didn't.
Years
know
ago.
That. Wow.
You have to put years ago in.
I'm just letting yes. people know that we didn't mean like right. the Daily
Tuesday,
Show
right.
or something.
No.
Yes.
Way
oh,
back
wow.
in the old studio.
Mm-hmm.
Probably
before she was born.
Possible. No,
not that old.
No.
Okay.
Like
good.
90.
Okay. And you were born when?
86.
Okay. Moving on. 6 o'clock, Saturday, Basin yes. Spring Park in Eureka Springs.
Free.
And that evening is also the gallery stroll from 6 to 9 in Eureka Springs.
Can't beat it.
Perfect. And Miranda Lambert is performing at 7 on Saturday at the Amp in Rogers.
Not free.
No, $44 to $79. Opening acts include the Swan Brothers and Rain Lynn. I've noticed that, Kevin Kinder writes music for What's Up. Lots of restrictions these days on getting in to review a show.
Well, there are a lot of people that want to see this show.
Yeah. Well, he'll be there to review it. So if you don't make it, you can read all about it on his blog at NWA Tuned In.
Thank you, Becca.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Time to give some things away.
What are we giving away?
It's a big package.
Okay.
First of all, four vouchers, really, to mm-hmm. a Northwest Arkansas Naturals baseball game.
Okay.
We'll mail them to you. You take them to Will Call. And as long as the game isn't sold out, they'll give you the best tickets available. Four passes to any Malco movie theater in the area.
Sure.
Four passes to the July 15th showing of Riff Tracks Live as the Mystery Science Theater 3000 robots and folks take on Sharknado. Do you know Mystery Science Theater 3000? It was a show on cable years ago. The concept was these two robots and the guy who created them were shot into space, and in an experiment, they were shown really bad movies.
Uh-huh.
And then we would watch them watch the movies, and they'd make sarcastic comments.
Okay. I think As a kid, I feel like I saw it.
You'd see the silhouettes of their heads
yes,
up against the screen.
But I never actually watched one. But I was familiar with that. I didn't realize what was happening. But yeah. I remember seeing that and being like, well, I don't know what this is. And moving on.
Yes. There are certain types of people, as I point to myself, who thought it was hilarious.
Oh, it probably yes. was. But
well, anyway, they're going to take on Sharknado, which you have seen part of.
I think I saw like 30 minutes of it once when I was cooking. It's
yes.
pretty. I mean, it's about what you expect from that kind of movie.
Well, they will make fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then also, so four, and then two tickets to the Fund Your Farmers 2014 event that takes place at the Garden Room on Dixon Street in Fayetteville, used to be the Ozark Mountain Smokehouse.
Oh, cool.
Food tasting plates provided by chefs from 11, Greenhouse Grill, 28 Springs, Vetro 1925, and the Fayetteville Pastry Shop.
Very cool.
This takes place on Thursday night from 5 until 7. If you're not the person who won, you can still get tickets. $70 value, but so. Someone won all of them.
How can they get tickets?
They can go to ozarkslowfood.org.
Okay.
Or they can call 799-7985.
Wonderful. Well, okay. Who's our winner?
Our winner is Chase Skelton.
Well, congratulations, Chase.
And when I talked to Christina yesterday when we did this, I said, all you have to do is email us.
Sure.
I said, it was raining at the time. I said, if you've got a favorite rain song, tell us what it is.
Okay.
Most people did. That was not a requirement.
Oh, fun.
And Chase picked one.
Okay.
And it is the song.
Oh, you want me to read this? Yes.
Yeah, you're going to be better at this than I am.
It was Ojalá Que Llueve Café
by
Juan Luis Guerra.
Yes, and he said he loved it for many reasons, but one, it's a beautiful song about the hopeful prayer for the people of the Dominican Republic, his homeland on the island of Hispaniola. So, there you go.
Oh, café en el campo, que caiga un aguacero de yuca y té, del cielo una harina de queso blanco, y al sur una montaña de vento.
You've heard of 3D printing, food, body parts, even an entire house. Would you like to give it a try for yourself? I'm Ira Flato on Science Friday, our beginner's guide to 3D printing with MakerBot's Bree Pettis, plus new reports of pesticides harming birds and bees, all on Science Friday from PRI.
Today from 1 to 3 on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. Joe Crookston's song, Blue Tattoo, about Dina Johnson, a Holocaust survivor, inspired a documentary film of the same name. Joe Crookston is spending time at the Fayetteville Public Library this week, leading songwriting workshops, playing a free concert tonight at 7, and this afternoon showing the documentary. This week he came to the Furman Garner Performance Studio in between sessions at the library to talk about the film, his new CD, and more. Yesterday on Ozarks at Large, he told us about how he met Dina and her daughter, Connie. He told us he wrote the song as a conversation between a 28-year-old Dina and a 4-year-old Connie.
Yes, my darling. Yes, I used to be little just like you. And yes, I played with all the other kids too. Yes, my darling. Yes, I used to be little like you. Well, darling, in a Polish town halfway around the world is where I lived when I was just a girl. On a farm in a Polish town halfway around the world. And I had you and a strong will, and we made our home in these New York hills. You sailed with me and I sailed with you, with a leather suitcase, everything was new. And that's a good question. We sailed to America because there was a war. And when you're older, I promise I'll tell you more. My sweet darling, we sailed to America because there was a war. What's a war? Well, it's when people fight and things get really tough. And that's all for now, I've answered enough. My sweet daughter, war is when things get really tough. In the New York Harbor, as the ship pulled in, I held you close, we were starting over again. You sailed with me, and I sailed with you, with a leather suitcase, I was 22. And yes, I had a family, but some people came and took us from our farm. And yes, you're right, my dear, yes, that's a tattoo on my arm. I had a family, but some people came and took us from our farm. And still I wonder, but I don't know why, I was a lucky one to leave alive. You sailed with me, and I sailed with you, with a leather suitcase and this blue tattoo. Ah, ah. darling, please, no more questions today. Why don't you go outside with the other kids and play? Darling, please, no more questions today. And I had you and a strong will, and we made our home in these New York hills. You sailed with me, and I sailed with you, with a leather suitcase and this blue tattoo.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
What was it like when you played it for her?
I love being on stage. I love performing, sharing music. I don't get nervous when I perform. The way I would put it is that I try to get out of my own way. Sometimes I'm driving and I'm late and I can't get the roads and the traffic, you know, and I get to a show and I'm just frazzled, just like everybody, you know? Mm-hmm. And my job is to kind of unzip my head and take out everything that isn't the music and the stories and kind of show up and be present. And so that is something that I try very hard to do when I perform, is just kind of be really with the music. And I would say when I played this for her, it was at her synagogue, and there's 90 people of her community, and her and Connie are sitting in the front row, and I'm singing the song to her for the first time. I was like, I was shaking, I was hitting my guitar, I was just trying to get through the song, you know, and I was all I could. And I would say of any moment that I could ever imagine on stage, that was my most nervous, like, I can't believe this is happening, and I'm, you know, or I want to do well, I wanted to honor her. And as soon as the song was over, she just gave me two thumbs up and like, yeah, you know. And I think she knew that I wasn't trying to impose something on her story or take anything from it, that she really felt from me that I was just trying to like honor the story, you know. So, man, but I was nervous. Oh, my gosh. I was like, yeah.
Well, I can't imagine. I mean, you do this so wonderfully well. A 28-year-old woman talking to her 4-year-old daughter. Yeah. And this 28-year-old woman has spent 3 years in Auschwitz. How you can get that in 4 minutes?
Yeah.
Without, you know, it's not sensationalized or anything. Yeah. It's just...
Yeah. I think one of the things that was really important to me, too, Kyle, is like, I didn't want to go into the facts and the details. We know, you know, if we've done any research or reading or, you know, anything, we know what happened. So I wanted it to be like as if I made a window. And then I started opening the blind little by little by little. Then by the end of the song, you're like, oh, now you know what the window is looking at. But I never had to, I never wanted to tell the facts and details about what happened there, because we know that. I don't need to do that. So that's a way I think about it, almost as a window blind that's coming up. Each verse kind of comes up a little higher, and then the window like, oh.
Yeah, you're right, because that would be a completely different experience. I knew what the song was about before you played it. But if I had just heard that for the first time, it's the peels of the onion are coming off.
Yes, that's right. Yep, it's kind of unraveling, yeah.
I imagine you get a lot of stories, even when you're not, you know, officially getting stories from people.
Oh, yeah.
I imagine almost any time you meet someone, you're picking up a story. It may not turn into a song, but...
Yeah.
You're the type of person that's interested in other people.
I'm taking notes on you right now. Yes, I think so. I think that's my orientation, is really towards people's stories. And although, you know, I try different things. I would say that I'm not locked into that, like as if I have to do that. I have a brand new CD that just came out called Georgia, I'm Here. And I would say that there are some story songs on there. And then there are some where it's kind of loosely inspired by Georgia O'Keeffe, the painter, and not so much her as a person or her art, but as her as a person and her willingness to just be who she really is and let that be. And in some ways, there's a few songs on it that are more sketches of maybe abstract, colorful landscapes, and you can make of that what you would like. So one thing I would say is, even though I love great story songs and I'm good at it and I've really, you know, that's very important to me, I'm also not locking myself into always having to do that either. Like, I'm just trying different things and experiencing that too. So, yeah, as an artist, you know, stretching and, yeah.
When do you write? All the time?
I do. You know, I kind of write all the time. I would say, you know, I'm teaching a songwriting workshop, right, at the library. And one of the things I kind of harp on is, you know, waiting for inspiration to strike, you know, and the muse to touch you. You know, those things do happen. But I think writing to me is sitting down and making it happen and just digging and digging and digging. And what I think of is like sort of squeezing blood out of a stone. Like, I can sit there with one line and kind of stick with it. It really is a matter of perseverance, or kind of like, you know, I'm a bulldog. I want to stay with it and see what I can find in the writing. So I wouldn't say I write all the time, but if I'm on an airplane or if I'm driving, I have my note recorder on my phone and I'm, you know, talking into it. I'm always kind of sketching out ideas. And I think it's maybe I'm saying this to myself too. I think it can be an excuse to think I need a perfect little room and the time and the inspiration to strike in order to write. I think it's not true. Just like, make it happen now, wherever you are, you know, wherever I am.
It's I don't know if work is the right word, but it's a vocation. It's a process.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to write that great song the first time out.
Absolutely not. No. And I think that's for every blue tattoo I've written, I have 25 other just, you know, little sketch songs that never get recorded. People don't hear. Although some of those I don't value. And then other people, oh, play that one about the sea anemone, or play the one about the, you know, whatever that country song is. And I don't value it, but other people really do. So I think I'm learning just to kind of put a bunch out there and let people decide what means something to them. Yeah.
Can you tell, say, after you've been to Ireland or you've played a show in, I don't know, Zanesville, Ohio, yeah, or wherever else, can you tell that that place has had any kind of influence? Not necessarily a typical Irish influence, but you think, oh, those 2 or 3 weeks there or that stretch has at least made me more enthusiastic about something? Or,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Here's what I would say. A very clear example of that is when I came to the Roots Festival here in Fayetteville, and I left here much more committed to local agriculture and sustainable community-supported agriculture farms, because there was so much, I felt like at the festival, and there were so many people here who were like the farmers of the festival, and they provided the food and that kind of thing. Now, I live in Ithaca, New York, and we also have a fair amount of CSAs and different, you know, but I left here like, it was like, oh, this is, I'm passionate about this. And I forgot, or I was reminded by Fayetteville how much maybe, you know, local agriculture, local food matters to me, you know? Like, we go to a big corporate store and we buy our, you know, and it's just not healthy food. And I'm really interested in healthy food that comes from the farmer Jim down the street, you know? And I love that, you know? So I think, yes, that would be an example of how I went home and I was touched by this place and it reminded me. And now that's, you know, becomes more part of who I am, yeah.
So the new CD, Georgia, I'm Here.
Yep, Georgia, I'm Here.
Is there something you'd like to play off that?
I will play you the song Georgia, I'm Here. That's what I'd like to do. This would be exactly what I'm talking about. It's a sketch. And I would say that I'm deeply connected to the song. And yet, everyone has their own interpretation or can take out of it what they want. All the glitter and diamonds and clothes we hide behind, and we lean and we pose. I'm swimming hard upstream, and I'm stringing these words so you'll know what I mean. Georgia, I'm here. Georgia, I'm here, and I'm leaning on you, and if you need me to,
I'll be the one to remind you of go when the spirit is low. And the takers say no. Georgia, I'm here. Georgia, I'm here. And I'm leaning on you. And if you need me to, you'll be the one to remind me of why we get up and we try. It's a broken and cruel and a beautiful world. It's a broken and cruel and a beautiful world. And Georgia, I'm here. Georgia, I'm here. And I'm leaning on you. And if you need me to, we are hunkering down and running out of breath. Remembering we can do better than this. And Georgia, I'm leaning on you. And if you need me to, it's a broken and cruel and a beautiful world. It's a broken and cruel and a beautiful world. And Georgia, I'm leaning on you. And if you need me to.
Joe Crookston is performing a free concert tonight at 7 at the Fayetteville Public Library. He's also going to be at the library this afternoon at 2 for a screening of the documentary film The Blue Tattoo. His new CD is Georgia, I'm Here. You can find out more about Joe at joecrookston.com.
That's Pat Metheny on the guitar with Joshua Redman on saxophone. Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday and Saturday night from 10 till midnight. We'll hear these fine musicians this Friday on the show, along with Mark Turner, Jimmy Witherspoon, Wallace Roney, Wayne Shorter, and much more. Tune in to Shades of Jazz this Friday at 10 p.m.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Barcelona.
Mm-hmm.
Going to watch the World Cup final?
That's the plan. I am headed to Stuttgart this weekend for a wedding.
Where I bet they'll be for Germany.
Maybe.
Stuttgart?
Could be. I don't know. Yeah. Or they might not know what soccer is.
I don't know
if it's a bunch of soccer fans in Stuttgart. I've never been. So we'll find out. My plan is to watch it if I'm in the car when it's happening. Thank God for the ESPN. Watch ESPN app.
There you go.
Love it. Love it.
Do you have a rooting interest? For Sunday, will you pull for either team?
I'll pull for Argentina.
Yeah, see, I am 80% German,
mm-hmm.
but my FIFA rooting protocol is if the U.S. is not playing, uh-huh. I root for the smaller country.
Yeah.
I mean, the underdog.
Yeah, no, I prefer the underdog, and Germany's looked great the whole time, so if they win, they totally deserve it, but, you know,
yes.
They beat the U.S., so,
yeah.
So oh. No.
Okay. Ozarks at Large. A production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Thomas. Karnatz and I will have Weekend Ozarks at Large Sunday morning at 9. Have a great weekend. Be safe on your travels.